of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Good evening, everyone. We thank God for another Saturday. And this is the second Saturday in October. It's always a privilege to come your way. And I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Packed information and events, things happening, and also looking to some things in the Bible as we keep encouraging ourselves in the times we are in. The truth is, the times are not ordinary at all. We are not in ordinary times. And for this, the unbelievers even know it and they say it as well. And we believers should know better. So this, these are the times where we have to delve deeper into the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What is happening? How can we relate it to the Word of God and all that? All right, I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you. So let's get moving. Greetings to listeners outside the country and within and online and all that. Let's get started with some of the news. This week has been loaded with wars and rumors of wars. It's a bit serious now. I mean, talks of nuclear and all that. So we'll be looking at some of these in the news as well. But first, let's look at North Korea. This week really flexed the muscles against South Korea and then Japan. So North Korea flies 12 warplanes near South Korean border, prompting Air Force scramble. And that was quite a scary thing for them. So 12 North Korean warplanes flew in formation near the South Korean border in a simulation of an air-to-ground attack Thursday, prompting Seoul, that's South Korea, to scramble 30 fighter jets of its own. The South Korean military says it's detected 8 fighter jets and 4 bombers in the North Korean formation. South Korea's flight of 30 warplanes did not engage the sortie. And only guarded the country's airspace. The flight is only the latest of the aggression from Kim Jong-un's regime, which has launched numerous ballistic missiles in recent weeks. North Korea fired a pair of short-range missiles early Thursday in further response to joint military drills between the U.S. and South Korean militaries. The U.S. Navy has deployed the USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier to the region to participate in exercises. And then this week too, North Korea fired a missile across Japan, where about 5 million people had to be alerted to rush to underground storage or bunkers to secure themselves. So it's just getting hot and hot in that area. All right, then we have Joe Biden invokes possibility of Armageddon in the Democratic fundraiser speech. So, you know, as a headliner, President Vladimir Putin has indicated that Russia using nuclear weapons in Ukraine is a possibility. So President Joe Biden said in an address to the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee on Thursday night that the country under his leadership is as close to Armageddon as it has been since the Cuban Missile Crisis in the 1960s. Speaking at a fundraiser in New York, Biden addressed Russian President Vladimir Putin threatening to use a nuclear weapon. Putin was not joking when he talks about the use of tactical nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons, unquote, Biden said. We have not faced the prospect of Armageddon since Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. Russia has hinted several times at the possibility it could unleash weapons of mass destruction in its battle with Ukrainian forces if Putin believes the fate of the country is at stake. Quote, I want to remind you that our country also has various means of destruction, and for separate components and some modern than those NATO countries. And when the territorial integrity of our country is threatened, to protect Russia and our people, we will certainly use all the means at our disposal, unquote, Putin said in an address last month. White House officials have said the Biden administration has communicated directly with Russian officials about what kind of response using a nuclear weapon would bring. White House officials have said they aren't going to share publicly what the U.S. response would look like. They have said it would be catastrophic. And then the quote, Joe Biden says, I don't think there's any certain as the ability to easily use tactical weapons and not end up with Armageddon, unquote, Biden said at the Thursday evening speech. But after this speech, even today, France President Macron has said that no. Biden didn't talk well. And within the U.S., some senior people within the security setup have said that no. What he spoke, he just spoke out of, you know, he's been really firing off the scripts because his brain, his memory is really failing. He just talks sometimes off. And so they said this one is not based on any new intelligence of Russia doing something, but they are really criticizing that he shouldn't have spoken the way he did in the first place. But, the issue is, he, because of his, dementia-like nature of what he's suffering, he says classified things sometimes loosely. And I believe that could be one of those things where he wasn't supposed to say, but he has said it anyway. There's one next new time under item I'll come to that shows that there's something is just not right. I mean, regarding this nuclear stuff. I think let me get to that one before I come to this. Okay, yeah. So let me just continue and then I'll get to that one later. So this next article is quite interesting. The headline is to nuke or not to nuke. What will Putin do? On September 30th, Russia's President Vladimir Putin declared once again that he would use all available means to defend Russian territory, the New York Times reported. Mr. Putin reminded the world of President Harry Truman's decision to drop atomic weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan 77 years ago, adding, by the way, they created a precedent. On Saturday, the strongman leader of the Southern Russian Republic of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov, said Mr. Putin should consider using low-yield nuclear weapons in Ukraine, becoming the first prominent Russian official to openly call for such a strike. With this latest threat in mind, it's noteworthy that days before Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, President Vladimir Putin was personally overseeing military exercises with Belarus, exercises that were blatantly nuclear in nature. On February 18, Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko announced his willingness to join Vladimir Putin in strategic nuclear drills, a day after annual strategic drills of nuclear-capable missiles were to take place. Under the supervision of Russian Armed Forces Supreme Commander-in-Chief Vladimir Putin. Those well-publicized nuclear exercises happened just 6 days before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, launched on 24 February. At the time, Putin authorized special military operations, and Russian forces began missile and artillery attacks, striking major Ukrainian cities, including Kiev. The early military exercises in Belarus, which flaunted nuclear capabilities, was Putin's way of psychologically preparing his army for the Ukrainian invasion. In the weeks and months to follow, he has repeatedly employed nuclear threats and insinuations to bolster his power. Notably, he has immediately put those new threats to use when things aren't going his way. Putin has continued to use such words as escalating and provocative to describe Ukraine's military operations, intentionally triggering fears of his own potentially deadly responses. And whilst many observers have implied that Putin is bluffing about nukes or he would not dare to use the weapons he has at his disposal, both strategic and tactical, Putin's threats should be taken seriously. There are three countries concerned with this conflict that have both strategic and tactical nuclear weapons: Britain, France, and the United States. If Russia employed any kind of nuclear weapon in NATO or EU country, or close enough to a border to cause harm, that action would activate NATO Article 5. All NATO countries are obligated to respond in unity when one is attacked. Putin knows this would instigate a nuclear response. The only time Article 5 has been invoked was in September 11, following the 9/11 attacks in the US. Likewise, if Russia initiated a nuclear attack on Ukraine, due to the proximity of several NATO countries, vulnerability to radiation fallout, a collective defense would be unique and enduring. And in fact, it would be the preferred course of action. First of all, it's obvious to all concerned, including Vladimir Putin, that the use of strategic nuclear weapon would lead to destruction of Moscow, followed by an unimaginable conflict costing the lives of millions around the world. And Putin knows that nobody would win. But what about the use of tactical nuke? These are weapons of localized use, targeting military formations, ammunition depots, or command and control centers. They would be launched by use of bombs, short-range missiles, artillery tubes, landmines, depth charges, and torpedoes equipped with nuclear warheads. So if the Russians have it in the arsenal as a conventional weapon, you can be pretty safe in assuming it has nuclear warhead that goes with it, said the unidentified former senior National Security Council official who still advises U.S. Strategic Command. Almost every single weapon the Russians have is nuclear capable. If it's an artillery system, if it's an air defense system, if it's a torpedo, if it's a cruise missile, it would have a nuclear warhead with it. So would Putin launch an attack? And if he wants to, would the people around him permit him to do? They know what it is at stake also and have a lot to lose in a conventional nuclear exchange. What about the oligarchs that support Putin, who are also wealthy people with interests of their own? Could they stop him? The fact is that if Putin uses any kind of nuclear weapon, even a tactical one, the war is over and he would have lost. The use of tactical nuclear weapons would most likely cause the drift of radiation across borders into NATO countries. This will prompt an immediate Article 5 response, subsequently faced with a combined force of NATO assets, a missile and or drone attack, along with the massive use of conventional weapons dropped from NATO aircraft. Putin's army would be pulverized, including his army in Crimea. Russia has 4,477 total nuclear warheads. Among those thousands, we know that some are tactical, low yield, and not strategic. They could be used to attack a column of tanks, an aircraft carrier group, and other specific targets, and could destroy entire cities. It is clear that in the days before the official launch of the Ukraine invasion, Putin made specific and intentional preparations to upscale his image as a nuclear player. He did so fully intending to intimidate the West with the potential Russian nuclear activity. The military Belarus exercises were blatantly nuclear in nature, providing Putin with a means of bullying and otherwise threatening his foes with devastating destruction, which he has continued to do. But again, is this just part of his propaganda campaign? Today, we know little about Putin's present state of mind or level of emotional vulnerability. How desperate might he become as he watches failure after failure of his once vaunted army and his supposedly invisible battle plans? The best we can do now is continue to protect Ukraine, because despite his saber-rattling and nuclear warnings, it is likely Vladimir Putin will make careful calculations before taking such dire action. If not, he surely knows that he will be faced with non-stop retaliation and unimaginable destruction. This article is from the Washington Stand. And it's quite interesting because, you see, this whole thing, America is not taking it lightly, because this next news item says it all. The U.S. just spent $290 million. Guess on what? On anti-radiation pills used to save lives during nuclear emergencies. $290 million spent on anti-radiation pills used to save lives following nuclear emergencies. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said the purchase was part of a long-standing program. Anxiety over the use of nuclear weapons is growing as Russia's invasion of Ukraine hits setbacks. And personally, I believe the war is at a crucial stage, because the way things are turning against the Russians today, one of the key bridges between Russia and Crimea has been bombed, and it's quite embarrassing. It's like the war is just not going their way. And that is where some believe that it can really become more disastrous, because it's like, after all, he who is down needs to fear no foe. So they can just do the worst. You know, these are old men. Putin yesterday was 70 years. And, you know, old people, you don't care. You know, they are dying soon, so they can just do anything. And after all, they will die soon. So, well, the world is really, really not in safe times at all. Ukrainian president made a speech, an interview, and he said Russia has begun to prepare their society for possible use of nuclear weapons. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky urged world leaders to act and stop Russian President Vladimir Putin, as he warns that Moscow has begun preparations for the possible use of nuclear weapons. And, you know, these are... it's quite worrying, but what can we do? We are just observers from afar, you know. Can just watch from afar. So the next news item says that how the energy crisis is accelerating the food crisis. Let me just read portions of it. Everyone has been touched by skyrocketing inflation, high fuel prices, and availability of certain supplies. And now we are facing a massive energy crisis. This is in the Europe. We've seen the signs of for a while, but theory is quickly turning, becoming reality. Energy prices in Europe has catapulted to dizzying heights, leaving some folks facing bills of up to $10,000. And the United States is not untouched. Prices for power are already escalating. Even in Ghana, we've had a sharp rise in utility power as well. And then goes on to say that it isn't just the price of essential utilities like heating and cooking that are going up, but price and availability of food to be affected as well. And we are bound to get handed food crisis all over the world. Manufacturers are shutting down production to combat the price of energy. And in a world already seeing food shortages and empty shelves, this is a massive hit. A source in Sweden says that two large greenhouses have said that they are shutting down production for winter due to energy prices. And then another one, across northern and western Europe, vegetable producers are contemplating halting their activities because of the financial hit from Europe's energy crisis, further threatening food supplies. Surging power and gas prices will impact crops grown through the winter in heated greenhouses such as tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, and those which need to be placed in cold storage such as apples, onions, and others. European farmers are warning of shortages. The anticipated hits to production and jump in prices means supermarkets may switch to sourcing more food goods from warmer countries such as Morocco, Turkey, Tunisia, and Egypt. Surging prices, gas prices are the biggest cost vegetable farmers cultivating inside greenhouses face, according to farmers. Meanwhile, two French farmers renewing their electricity contracts for 2023 said they were being quoted prices more than 10 times those of 2021. 10 times. I mean, then how can you make profits then? I mean, it's serious. And this excerpt goes on to say that HAK, a major seller of conserved foods such as peas, beans, and others, in Netherlands is temporarily halting production this winter due to high energy costs, with a spokesperson saying that the pause would last 6 weeks from January. According to Dutch Chamber of Commerce records, HAK and related companies had sales of 100 million euros and operating profit of 10 million euros in 2001. If companies have to sell under their cost price for months on end, then things will turn out badly. NOS further quoted Hoogboon as saying that earlier on Monday, the Union of Dutch Fruits and Vegetable Processors called for government to either impose a cap on gas prices, as Germany has done, or offer support for companies. And it goes on and on. And then the last paragraph says that we are not dealing with quite the same level of crisis as Europe yet. This is right. This article is from the US. Like it or not, we are part of a global economy. And when everything is working smoothly, there is no war and animosity. This allows us to have access to a wider variety of food and resources. But when things begin going sideways, there is a horrible domino effect that goes cascading through sector after sector. We may not be dealing with quite the same level of crisis as Europe right now, but it's only a matter of time. We are in the midst of an economic collapse and a slow drain. It's happening now, and it's more essential than ever to have a plan to feed your family no matter what. You can't just hope to find what you need on your weekly grocery trip, and this will continue to devolve. Interestingly, just before I came to the studio, I passed through a shop I sometimes buy things from. And a few weeks ago, I noticed that there were some items which were missing or getting, like, I wasn't seeing. And now, today, that whole section, that whole section where those items used to be is now full of ice cream. And I said, whoa. This thing, because it's imported, and imported things, the cost now, the exchange rate and all. So, this week when I was listening to one of the news items and the Guta also, importers was saying how a lot of importers will soon stop importing because of the exchange rates and the cost of pricing and the bank loan going up due to the, Bank of Ghana increasing the rates and all that. So, we read some of these things outside, and it looks like, oh, it's in the Europe, it's in the Americas, it's in the Asias. But locally, within our situation, it seems even quite serious than some of these things we read out there. And, these things don't happen overnight, suddenly. No, it's a gradual process. So the signals have been there right from the beginning of the year. I've been talking about it gradually. Well, but we are getting there. All right. I've been talking about how these people are polluting the cartoons, the children programming and all that. But this week's own day, no. It's a real big shocker. Of all the children programs, Scooby-Doo, that one most of you will be aware of Scooby-Doo and all that. Now, one character in Scooby-Doo, Velma, one lady wearing spectacles in Scooby-Doo, is now officially revealed to be a lesbian in the new Scooby-Doo film. You can see that there's an agenda to really turn things around. So going backwards, the supposed good ones which were clean, now they are contaminating them one after the other. So, you know, in 2020, filmmaker James Gunn revealed that he had tried to portray the character's sexuality in live action films. It's official, Mystery Incorporated member Velma is revealed to be a lesbian in new clips from the upcoming animated Halloween flick, Trick or Treat Scooby-Doo. The new clips quite quickly went viral on social media after depicting Velma as googly-eyed and speechless upon meeting another female character. Costume designer Coco Diablo, Tony Vecevone, the producer of the Mystery Incorporated cartoon series, also confirmed that Velma was a lesbian in this depiction of her. So we made our intentions as clear as we could 10 years ago, he shared on Instagram. Most of our fans got it. To those that didn't, I suggest you look closer. And you know, they've set Hollywood and these entertainments, big guns have set a target by 2025. Yeah, we are in 2023. By 2025. At least 20% of content, you know, films, cartoons, all this stuff, should have LGBT content in there. So that's quite serious, because if you are looking at least 20% means, if not at all, 1 in 5. So if you take 1 in 5 film, cartoon, whatever, 1 in 5 will have some LGBT content. That's the agenda to reach by 2025. So that's why, you know, parents can just not allow things to just pass freely without them knowing what their children are engaged in, because it's quite serious. All right. And then I think let me finish with this last article. It's quite interesting because we are beginning to see glimpses of it in our time. And the headline is, I think this is from the Prophecy News Watch. So, yeah. Preparing for the Antichrist. Civil unrest set to surge worldwide. There's a title. Soaring food, energy, shelter, inflation have led to what could be a new era of civil unrest worldwide. Pockets of unrest have been observed in some countries, Sri Lanka and others. Earlier this year, Rockefeller Foundation President Rajiv warned that, quote, a massive immediate food crisis, unquote, is nearing. The UN said this summer that the world is marching towards starvation, with an increased likelihood of civil unrest and political violence. Last week, I read to you what the IMF chief also said. No, that this year is, I've gotten the right word, but this year is, whatever, and next year will be worse. You know, all the big players are saying the same thing, from the UN level, World Bank, FAO, IMF, all of them are saying the same thing. World Economic Forum, Rockefeller, and all. These are the powers that be when it comes to the world system. I mean, so they know what they are talking about. They know the simulations that they've done, the analysis, the scientific, whatever. So they are just not talking out of vacuum. They know the things they are saying based on facts and statistics and data. You know, so it's obvious. The signals have been there for some time. I mean, it's been there. We as Christians, God has also been warning his children ahead of time. Before these people started talking about these things, God has been giving the signals, warning his children to prepare, to prepare, to prepare. I've been giving some of these warnings, talking about it, way. Those who have been listening right from last year, August, thereabouts, I started talking about some of these things. So, well, but let me just continue. It goes on to say that making sense of the impending global turmoil is Verisk Maplecroft, a UK-based risk consulting and intelligence firm. They have just published an updated version of the Civil Unrest Index, CUI. Goes on to say that covering 7 years of data, showing the last quarter saw the most countries ever since the index was created move higher in civil unrest risks. that 101 of the 198 countries tracked by the firm saw increased risks of civil unrest. That's huge. The impact is evident across the globe, with popular discontent over rising living costs emerging on the streets of developed and emerging markets alike, stretching from the EU, Sri Lanka, Peru, to Kenya, Ecuador, and Iran. Various wrote in the article, adding, conditions are worsening as the frequency of protests and labor strikes could accelerate into fall. So that's, we are in the, yeah, fall means like the season, so October, November. Yes. Then, quote, although there have been several high-profile and large-scale protests during the first half of 2022, the worst is undoubtedly yet to come, the firm warned. And let me repeat this statement because I know it for a fact that we are headed there. I mean, I know what I've seen. I know what some of the prophets are saying. And so let me repeat. Although there have been several high-profile and large-scale protests during the first half of 2022, the West is undoubtedly yet to come, the firm warned. Verisk noted, Algeria has the highest likelihood of projected civil unrest over the next half year because of rising inflation. inflation as a media. Some countries too are having their so. Other areas include Europe, mainly due to energy hyperinflation decimating household finances. When their people's livelihoods are affected, watch out. That's an environment ripe for social unrest. It's already happening in Prague, and could spread like wildfire. More than 70,000 Czechs protested over the weekend in Prague, the capital, demanding the ruling coalition take neutral stance on Ukraine war to ensure energy supplies from Russia aren't cut off ahead of winter. Protesters are outraged at the European Union for sanctions against Russia that have sparked soaring electric bills and triggered costs of living crisis. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Switzerland, Netherlands, Germany, and Ukraine are all among states with the biggest projected increases in risk, the report said. Only a significant reduction in global food and energy prices can arrest the negative global trend in civil unrest risk. Recession fears are mounting, and inflation is expected to be worse in 2023 than in 2022, Verisk said. And this is exactly what the IMF boss said last week, news that I read. Not only IMF, Food and Agriculture Organization boss, that's they call it, I mean, the UN food chief, as I mean, since it's FAO is UN food, also gave a stark warning last week. I also read it here. Energy prices, however, took another blow over the weekend as it was announced Russian gas flow towards Europe won't be coming back anytime soon, as Gazprom announced that it had completely halted transport of gas to Nord Stream until a previously undetected oil leak is rectified. That could take hours, days, or months. The shocking development is a massive blow to Europe, which is scrambling to fill up its gas storage ahead of winter and which has been trying to guess Moscow's next steps in the energy war for weeks. It's unlikely Germany can last very long without these supplies, and it's already taking drastic action to reduce energy consumption throughout the country. However, it may not be enough. The question also remains if central banks can arrest inflation with the most aggressive interest rate hikes in decades. We are seeing that in Ghana. This week, they've increased 250 basis points. If not, then most experts expect the next 6 months are likely to be even more disruptive than earlier this year. We are watching civilization crumble all around us, and we are rapidly plummeting into an abyss of anarchy, madness, and chaos. And the days ahead are not going to be pleasant. Many Bible prophecy scholars speculate that such worldwide anarchy could open the door to civilization crying out for someone to save us from ourselves. Instead of looking to God, society, will turn to yet another politician who would offer promises of peace and solutions to the world's problems, but instead it will begin one of the most terrible times in all of world history. And that is an interesting article there, clearly depicting the signs of the times, giving a gloomy picture, but yet factual. And the reality, you know, the problem we have most times is we don't really want to hear the truth. It's like, oh, don't scare us, you know, don't tell us what is worrying, what is gloom, what is doom. But the truth has to be known. The truth has to be spoken. Because you see, knowing the truth then gives you the ability to be ready for whatever is ahead. Anyway, I'll be back. Let's listen to this beautiful song by Alvin Slaughter, I believe. Yeah. Peace in the midst of the storms. And this is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. I'll be back.
Yes. When the world I've been living in crumbles at my feet, when my life is all tattered and torn, I've been windswept, I've been battered, but I'll cling to the cross. He gives me peace, yes, in the midst of the storm. We're singing, he'll give you peace. Yes, he will. In the midst of the storm tosses on. He's my anchor, my rock. I can build my faith upon. Oh, Jesus Christ, he's my refuge. In him, it may crumble at your feet. Maybe your life is all tattered and torn. I believe I testify. You see, I've been windswept. This man's been battered, but I'm gonna cling to the cross. He gives me peace, yeah, in the midst of every storm. And one more thing, you see, when I come to the end of life's journey and all of the living seems but a moment, when my doctor, he just might shake his head and look forlorn, I know Jesus Christ, yes, sir.
Wow. Peace in the midst of the storms. You know, a quick one. You know, when the world that I have been living in collapses at my feet. And that's what we are seeing in the world. I mean, things are just changing overnight. And when my life is all tattered and torn, though I'm wind swept, I've been battered, I'm gonna cling onto his cross. And I'll find peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, towards life, there's an anchor. There's a rock to build my faith upon. Jesus Christ is my vessel, so I fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. You know, and it goes on and on. So, you know, when my spirit has been broken till it's marked by misery, when the doctor shakes his head and look forlorn, Jesus comes to make my bedside a cathedral of faith and love. He will give me peace in the midst of the storm. In another part two, he says, there's an anchor and there's a rock to build my faith upon. You know, we have to understand these times so that we can prepare better ahead of time. You know, failure to have a better understanding of where we are and then what is ahead can make a lot of difference. Because you see, when you know what is coming, you are better informed of the times, the situations that the world is in and what is ahead. You will be in a better position to be well prepared. If not fully prepared, at least you are not caught off guard. You are not surprised when things begin to turn some way. And so whilst people will be leaving the faith, people will be disappointed, people will be blaming God, people will be going through all sorts of crisis and psychological and all that, people committing suicide and all those things based on the state of the world, you can hold on to Christ in the midst of the storms because you know he can give you the peace that you need in the turbulent times, you know. And that's why, you know, I say it as it is, because it's better to know what we are in and to be aware so that you can be better placed in the midst of the storms. Let's get into some Bible and read Romans chapter 8 from verse 35 to 39 rather. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we have to understand where we are in Christ, who we are in Christ, so that we can position ourselves well, and then we can agree with the writer of Romans chapter 8. That it doesn't matter what is coming. It doesn't matter what the world is turning into and what it will turn to and whatever is ahead. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Because you see, we've not reached anywhere, but already people are falling away. Already people are leaving the faith. People are losing their faith, their love growing cold and all. And we've not reached the peak of things. It's like a plane that is ascending. We just took off from COVID 2020 that this whole thing started. So we are still climbing. I mean, and we've not reached anywhere. I mean, if you read what Jesus said in Matthew 24, he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. Beginning. Not the end. Beginning. And if you look at the things he said pertaining to the beginning of sorrows, it's exactly the situation, the state of the world we are in now. And so beginning means things would escalate, things will worsen. But there's a reason why he gave us this foreknowledge of whatever is going to happen in this time preceding his coming, so that his children will be better placed to be ready and prepared. His children will be better equipped spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and all, to face the times and the turbulence that will be in place in that season. So these things are not meant to scare us. They are not meant to discourage us, but they are rather meant to strengthen us ahead of time. So you see, in the times ahead, those who listen to, for example, like this program, and really believe and accept and take whatever I said and act on it and all, will be better placed to face the challenges than those who didn't know anything at all. Like, they were just living, and it's like everything will be like a surprise to them, because they had no inclination at all that this is where the world is headed. Well, they may have seen things signaling, but they may not have the real dynamics in terms of this is what the Bible says and this is where we are headed. So I believe there are some, things are going to improve, things are going to improve soon, we can be hopeful and all that. I mean, naturally, yes. But sometimes we have to face the reality and say the truth as it is. Things are not going to improve any sooner. And the truth is, it's not going to improve at all. It's just going worse till Christ comes. That's the state of the world. We've been set in motion towards that. So, yes, we've talked about end time for many years. But yes, we are in the end time. The real end time we are in now. And we are going to see it. We are going to see things escalate. We are going to see the world get off the rails of common sense. When the Bible says that we'll be hated by all nations. We'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We are going to now see why people will hate us. Because life is just going to be off to the point where people would just hate God. The hatred for God is going to escalate. Things are just going to be anti-God. We are already seeing signals of it in the Western world. But eventually these things would run amok worldwide, where everything Christ, everything godly is hated. Because you see, in the midst of these difficulties and all, the devil also tried to put blame on God. It's God who has done it. Natural disasters. Oh yes, it's God. It's God. It's God. So now eventually we have situations where people will hate God because it's God who is behind the problems they are suffering. So you people who believe in that God, yes, you are the representatives, like you are the ambassadors. Okay, so if we can't beat God, we can't see God and insult him, or we can't beat God, whatever, to God. You, the representatives, we, the Christians on earth, are the ones who face that brunt. You see, so these are the realities. I mean, this has said it. I mean, you'll be hated for all nations, for my name's sake, by all nations, you know. So these are just glimpses of, it's like a puzzle gradually falling in place. We are beginning to see things falling in place little by little. But we shouldn't be surprised by the turn of events, the way things are going. Rather, these are the times to start strengthening ourselves in the Word. We start strengthening ourselves to build our faith. So it's like a student knowing there's an exam ahead and preparing seriously towards it. So that when the day comes, or when the season for the exams comes, he will be ready for it. So we hear these things to equip ourselves emotionally, spiritually, and all, as whichever way we are led to, whatever, prepare in whichever way, so that we are strengthened. We are strengthened. And I believe as we do that, one key thing, there are a few key things we'll be looking at. How do we ensure that our faith is well grounded in these times? It's like, will your anchor hold? I mean, the anchor is what will hold in the storms. But the question is, do you have an anchor that can really withstand the storms that are blowing and are about to blow stronger? You know, if you watch the Hurricane Ian in Florida last week, I mean, that's where you see how storms can be destructive. Can your anchor stand in the midst of the storms, the wild storms? Can it stand when things just turn more turbulent? Can it stand? Can it stand? You know, World Bank gave a report this week that our projected debt to GDP ratio by the end of the year is going to reach 104%. If you understand economics, you can understand the implication of it. You can understand the implication of it. That gives you a picture of our economic state as a country. So we can have an idea that things are just not well and things are not going to be well in the near future. I mean, so when you understand some of these things, then you know where we are headed. And that's the truth. You see, we have to be, yes, we are believers, we are Christians, we walk by faith, we live by faith and all. But reality is also reality. So knowing the reality helps you to strengthen your faith to face that reality. But not knowing the reality means you can be caught off guard and your faith can be shaky. So knowing these things, as we talk about it on Issues of Life, is to help us equip ourselves, strengthen us, and so that our faith will not waver when the storms begin to blow stronger and stronger. Our faith will stand strong and firm. Because our faith, if we lose our faith, we've lost it all. If we lose our faith, we've lost it all. So we should do everything to ensure that our faith is solid. No matter what is happening, we stand till the end. You know, Jesus puts it in a beautiful way where he says that he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Endurance, last week I was talking about it. Endurance, like in the marathon races, endurance, long distance. You need to endure. And just as I said, that the race is just about really starting, the real race. I mean, all these years, Christianity, we've been talking, we've been like doing mock exam. I mean, we've been just running around mock, like primary level. The real test of our Christian faith is about to begin. So, you could have been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years. Oh yes, it's good. But can our Christian faith still last in the times ahead of us? That's the most important thing. Because as for starting, everybody can start. Last week I was talking about it, citing the marathon stuff. Everybody can start a race. That one is not a problem at all. Everybody can start a race. But as to finishing the race is where the real deal is. Having the capacity to finish, having the strength and the zeal, the wisdom, the strategy to finish is what really makes the difference. And so we have these periods, these times, to acquire the strategies and the wisdom, the capacity and all to make sure that we can endure and finish the race. Because the race, the truth is, the race is going to get harder. The Christian walk is going to get tougher. The Christian race is going to get more challenging. Because that's what the Bible says. I mean, birth pangs, so more painful, enduring, in shorter duration of pain, birth pangs, just as Jesus describes it. You know, so he gives a vivid description of the times we are in. And we are beginning to see these things. And so the essence of these things should not scare us, you know, but it should rather push us further into knowing God and ensuring that our walk with him is more solid than ever before. And I believe as we do these things, it's a decision. We have to first examine ourselves. Let's examine ourselves. You know, I like the way this, the name of this program, Issues of Life, puts it. That's in Proverbs 4, 23, where it says that, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because our heart is the main point of everything. So in the midst of these times, we have to ensure that our heart is well grounded. So that, because as soon as our heart is not in line, then you begin to fail. If we leave the faith, it begins from our hearts. If we become lukewarm, it begins from the heart. So we should examine ourselves, examine our hearts to ensure that we are well grounded. If we assess ourselves, examine yourselves, and we realize there are some weaknesses, we are not strong in this area, we are weak here and all that, then we start working on ourselves. It's very critical because we should, it's like somebody, a plane pilot sits in a plane before the departure, they do the flight check, fuel levels, everything. They do all the checks, all the sensors, the temperature reading. So they do all the checks before. So we know that we are about to embark on a turbulent journey. So let's do our checks. Let's examine ourselves. Let's examine our hearts. Is my heart right? Is my heart in line with the word of God? Is my heart right with God? You know, let's do our preparatory works on ourselves so that we can stand in the midst of the storms. And I believe these are important things to do. Examining, self-examination is a very critical thing. Oftentimes, you can go and go and go and go, but sometimes you have to just pause and examine yourself. Are you in line? Are you on track? Are you veering off? Is something really taking your heart away from God? Is something domineering your faith? And I mean, a self-examination is like an assessment. So you can then ask yourself the hard questions, and a good response from you can give you a better reflection of where you are, your position. If you are failing, you know you are failing, then you improve yourself. If you are doing well, you know you are doing well, you maintain or you improve upon it. But not examining yourself at all, not examining your heart can be very, because the Bible says the heart can be deceitful. I mean, we can think we are right with God, but within us, if we really, really assess ourselves, we realize, no, the so-called things we think we are doing for God is even sometimes just for our own ego, for ourselves, just to please ourselves, or just to please men, just for the showmanship of men and all that. All right, so soon, the time is up. For listeners who were not here last week or didn't listen last week, now it's a 60-minute program, but we sure we pack everything within the 60 minutes as well. So this is Eben. I believe you've been blessed this evening. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. This is recorded, will be uploaded to spiritissues.info, as well as the Telegram group Spirit Issues. Good night and God bless you.